Hello, and welcome to the GameSafe Podcast, episode 75. I'm Proteus.
I'm Assimilator.
And I'm Zelda Queen.
And I guess some guys went to E3 or something. I don't know, I was working.
It was just a little show that they had in LA. Nothing big, you didn't miss anything at all.
Yeah, you didn't miss the 45,000 other people there.
So, rule one of E3, if you ever have a chance to go, walk in and do freak out that you have to do everything. There is 3 days is actually plenty of time to do the majority of the stuff there. Just take it one booth at a time and work your way down the halls.
Yes, don't get overwhelmed. And stop to eat. Another important thing.
Yeah, there's like 3 cafeterias on site, and then they add extra food state. They actually add an extra cafeteria areas in the back of each convention center. You're going to be paying a lot, but that's what you get for not leaving the premises and eating.
It's not like there's anything really close by unless you want to go to, like, the Wolfgang Puck or something and spend probably even more money on a meal.
I thought I saw a picture, like, with food trucks and stuff around outside the convention center.
They probably do run around there. I just don't think they stay in one spot. Because let's see you hold enough food to feed 45,000 people in one little truck. They probably sell out rather fast. But the weather was really nice, especially for walking around outside, because it was actually around, 65 and 70 pretty much the entire time with the overcast?
Yeah, I didn't even think it got up to 70 any of the times we were there.
But you guys probably really don't care about the weather and the food. You probably want to know about the games and Nintendo's ridiculous naming scheme.
We're still wondering who in the department thinks that adding, you know, things that are reminiscent of words is a good idea. It took a little bit of time to get used to. I understood why they did it.
I still preferred Revolution.
Well, and I thought Revolution was the game. No, that was Dolphin, wasn't it?
Dolphin was the GameCube. Revolution was the code name for the Wii. I liked Revolution better. It sounded better.
What was the code name for the 64?
I cannot remember at this time.
That is an excellent question.
I'm just glad it's not.
It's our trivia question for the week.
So do you actually want to know, or do you want to wait till next week? See if anybody knows the answer. Have them email. Okay, here's what we can do, because we actually do have some stuff from E3 we brought back with us. Since this is a simple one that can be easily internet, we have some Nexon lanyards. So the first person to email the correct answer that I found here will get a Nexon lanyard. Send that question, email to mail@thegameslave.com. It's going to be the first email that actually appears in the thing. So it's going to be the N64 code name.
Well, at least it's not called... Would it be better if this one was a Nintendo Cafe?
Well, the thing is, big enough for a toffee coffee table, so that actually might have worked.
Okay, so those of you who haven't caught the news bulletin, Nintendo's basically pushing the fact that they have a new controller. More than a new console, it still is a new console. The new console can run, Frostbite 2, which is one of the higher capable graphical engines.
I know every stuff is actually going to be in high definition this time. We went to their actual press conference and they didn't actually show the console. You could see a different looking console in all of the shots that had the new controller, which has been dubbed the Wii U. For sake of understanding, we're going to call it the Woo. It sounds better than Wii U.
Well, you can just make, ambulance noises.
Wee, 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 wee.
Well,
so, anywho.
I'm sure that's what their stocks are needing right now in Japan.
What the controller is basically a big square with rounded corners. It's got a lithium-ion battery in it, so it's rechargeable.
Which is, I think, excellent.
That's excellent. A lot of the design on this controller I actually didn't mind. Nintendo finally has 2 trigger buttons, 2 shoulder buttons. We're back at 2 analog sticks, and then we have our 4 buttons, A, B, X, Y.
And a D-pad. And it also comes with a inboard camera that points towards you, another stylus.
Inboard microphone. So you can actually use the thing for video calls. And it's got a 6.1-inch screen.
6.2.
I don't know why I keep saying 6.1. It's a 6.2-inch screen. So the thing's huge. Amazingly, though, we did get to hold it. We didn't stand in the line for the Wii U demo, because as they weren't actually displaying any games, they were just all tech demos. so I didn't stand in line. But conveniently, one of the girls that had one tethered to her, like her life depended on it, handed me one. So I got to at least hold it, move the buttons.
Ask some questions about it.
Yeah. The analog sticks aren't like the analog sticks on the PS3 or the Xbox. They're designed like the ones for the 3DS. They basically slide around the top, and they can't be pushed down for an extra button. So I wonder where some people are going to go with that, because I know some people like the traditional ball analog stick, is I guess what I'm going to call it, instead of the slide analog stick.
Yeah. I don't know. I just like those depressed ones, because they have like a little bit of a depressed button on top, so your thumb doesn't slip out of it, and it's really easy to move around.
Yeah, greasy gamer finger is going to be less of an issue with these, because I don't see your thumb falling off the analog stick if you're eating some sort of, like, chip or something while playing.
Oh, that reminds me of that. Cheetos? No. I found a coupon over by the E3 merchandise stations. It was for Gamer Grub, and it looked really icky, and I was like, seriously, we have to make a product called Gamer Grub?
Yep.
That is really bad processed.
I remember hearing about that before. It's a chips in like various like terrifying flavors, isn't it?
One of them's peanut butter and jelly. And then there's a pizza one.
Well, pizza chips have existed for a long time.
Yeah, but they look so unappealing, and I just...
They're not coated those flavors. It's like sports flavor, RPG flavor, shooter flavor.
What's the flavor of a shooter?
Anywho, so, moving on.
Trolls.
Back to the,
and teabagging.
Wii U thing. If they pull their cards right, this might actually work. In the demos we saw, they were using it as a shield where you held it straight upright and blocked things coming in from the screen from you, at you. Or they set it on the floor and they used a Wiimote, because apparently your Wiimotes and nunchucks and everything are going to be fully compatible with the new system. And basically you saw the golf ball on the Wii U screen, and you used the Wiimote as your golf club and was able to kind of like, boink, hit it off the thing there. They also used it for drawing. Then the way they opened it was some guy was playing Super Mario Brothers on the Wii U. Somebody walked in and said, okay, sports time, get off the TV. So they changed the TV, and then he just looked down at the controller, and he was still playing his game on the controller.
Yeah.
And then, this I'm not sure about, though, and I heard this is actually post E3. We're talking one Wii U controller per Wii U system.
So we don't get four Wii U controllers on it, we just get the one?
Yep.
That wouldn't be so bad!
It won't be so bad, but I don't know how it'll work for, like, split-screen shooters. Because you need a controller that has those dual analog sticks and in order for it to work right, and the other Wii controllers don't do that. Except for the classic controller. I'm not sure how well they're going to want to use a classic controller in those, because those things aren't really comfortable to hold for long periods of time.
There's too much speculation now. They raised more questions than they answered. They answered that, yes, we're coming up with a new thing, but we don't got much else, other than they have a lot of third-party support this time.
Yeah, they actually have third-party. Like, Darksiders 2 is coming out at launch on it, along with the other systems, which means we can expect Darksiders 2 maybe in March or April. Because I think they said they were estimating on this being a spring release.
Really?
I'm estimating as a spring release. Because, well, they said Darksiders 2. And I think Darksiders 2 was going to be on there at launch. And I think that was set up for a spring release, as it was. So that would put the Wii U coming out around probably the same time that the 3DS did.
March?
Maybe. Right at the end of their fiscal year.
Boy, that's... If it's coming out that... I guess it's still about 9 months away. I figured they would have more games, not just tech demos to show. Unless they don't want to give anything away, really.
Nintendo's good at that.
Yeah.
And then let's see. Other stuff that we saw that did not have to do with...
Can I interject one thing?
Sure.
I was just thinking that the Wii U would be a great platform to have a new version of like Final Fantasy Crystal Chronicles. So if anyone can hear me at Square Enix, you guys should get to work on that.
You mean the way it worked with the, you know,
DS's? With the DS's plugged in, where everyone had their, kind of like their status screen, basically, on the handheld, and then...
The different maps and everything?
Yeah.
That was actually kind of cool, when we got to actually do it that one time with four people.
That's always the problem, is getting everybody together.
And that's, okay, that's something that they didn't talk about at all on the Wii U. What's the online capabilities of this thing? I mean, Nintendo, take this... Lightly, you suck at online at your online multiplayer system. I mean, you have to have a game code for the console, and then different games have their own game codes. So you have to have a game code to get the game code.
Yeah, I think they said that friend codes are going away.
Better.
Well, it's funny because a lot of the tech demo stuff we saw in the preview was showing, you know, doing voice over video chat online. They were showing, you know, watching YouTubes on the sucker and all this other sort of stuff. So it has to have more internet browsing capabilities with it. They probably just said, okay, are they going to have an internet service like, you know, Xbox Live or PSN or... Don't know. See, there's lots of things nobody, you know...
Knows.
And they haven't really answered yet.
Well, we'll speculate this on this more later, but we have technically still 30 more days to get through. So,
Yeah.
And we're not even done with Nintendo, because they also announced, you know, that it's the 25th... They're officially now celebrating the 25th anniversary of Zelda now.
Woohoo!
Which is going to include a full symphony concert traveling across all the Nintendo's regions. Also, what you're going to get is next week when Ocarina of Time 3D comes out, if you're one of the first people to register it, first people being a non-disclaimer, I don't know how many actually people that are going to be counted as first, but they have a limited supply of the Ocarina of Time 3D soundtracks that they're going to be giving to people that register them on Club Nintendo when they get the game. So you buy the Zelda game, register it, get a free soundtrack. They're also going to have a second soundtrack based off of the concert that's going around the country, world, that's playing all Zelda music. And they actually had the concert, had the symphony there at the press conference. It sounded really nice.
Full orchestra music is very nice.
That's how they opened the press conference. It was actually kind of impressive.
Especially when Miyamoto's up there directing them and saying, can you make the treasure chest noise? And can you make the fairy spring noise? And... Miyamoto is, you know, he's kind of chewed up there when he's all like, do this! And he's just always so happy. He's a very happy guy.
He is. And let's see. So, they told us Skyward Sword was being released, this holiday season, which I'm still saying is going to be November on that date that I published on the website.
I hope so, because it comes out on time for my birthday. Yay!
And let's see. And then the other thing about the press conference they talked about was the 3DS titles. We just talked about Zelda. We got Star Fox 3DS 3D coming. Mario Kart 3D coming, which I did kind of feel bad for somebody on this. I think Lakitu is now out of a job when it comes to fishing them out of the water and stuff.
Yeah, but it's so nice, because there was one point when I was trying the demo, I actually fell off the track, and I was like, oh great, I fell off the track, now I gotta wait for Lock 2 to fish me out. But no, I can keep driving, because we got underwater bits for our cart, so it just automatically just happens when you hit the water.
Yeah, when you hit the water, you automatically go underwater. When you jump off a cliff, you'll get like a little parasol thing on your cart.
It worked very well. I don't know, I enjoyed it. What else did we have? We had Super Mario, a new Mario title for it.
Luigi's Mansion 2, which this time you have multiple mansions you get to investigate.
And it actually looks really nice, and most of these titles work with the 3D capabilities of the 3DS very well. Of course, it's always finding that sweet spot, and sometimes it's hard when you're going to use the gyro.
Yeah, you can use the gyro controls to do this and this with your character. It's like, okay. But then I lose the sweet spot of the 3D, because I'm like, move it the waist. It doesn't work like that. I have been trained as a gamer, even when it never worked, I moved to the controller. So, a lot of times I found myself shifting off the 3D when I wanted to use the gyro controls and then flipping it back on, because it's just that little switch on the side of the screen.
I have to play with it more when it's not tethered to something.
Yeah, it probably would have been easier had it not been tethered, because then when I'm trying to move the waist like they tell you to, when you're trying to do a 180 turn on something, you're not stopped at the 90 degree point, because you either almost smack somebody in the face, or the corpse reached its tautness. And that was about the end of the Nintendo press conference. Kid Icarus, yes.
Which Zelda Queen told me is nothing like the old Kid Icarus, which means it's no longer impossibly hard.
At least we're guessing. I don't know, though.
Parts of it seems like it's an on-rail shooter mixed with some ability to actually move yourself around by swiping the stylus on the screen.
Did you try it out at all?
Yeah.
Did you get stuck on multiplayer, too?
No.
Oh, good.
I went to the other side of the room where the single player was.
So we came in, and we just saw Kid Icarus, but there was people standing, and we couldn't see the other part of the side that said, multiplayer? And so we got stuck on the multiplayer, and I always... I'm weird. I am not so much for the multiplayer experience. I like playing by myself a lot of times. I didn't even know half the time you could go, you know, play Diablo 2 with other people until I tried one time with you, Proteus, and yeah. All the rest of the time, I played by myself.
I played a lot of it by myself.
And it just feels tacked on half the time. I'm like, Kid Icarus is not a game that really needs multiplayer. It just kind of feels, oh, here, well, have some multiplayer.
They're trying to work that spot pass better. And for that, they need more games with multiplayer out there that are worthwhile. They also had a new Pokédex feature, which uses AR cards. So if you're a big Pokémon fan, you can get your Pokémon in an AR card and technically then take a picture of yourself with your Pokémon out in the real world. Proteus looks dazed and confused at this recent announcement.
I just think it's weird that anyone would want to do that.
There's a big... Pokemon is still big. Maybe not to us, but like my cousin who works at a Mac store. No, not a Mac store. He doesn't work at a Mac store. He's a Mac technician. He's a big Pokemon fan.
Whose comic was that? About Pokemon. Middle school, Pokemon! Yeah! High school, Pokemon!
Awkward Zombies.
That was you're awkward.
College, Pokemon! Yeah!
I remember that one.
I think he describes it very well, except I was more on the...
Except I only played it in high school, because that's when it came out, like freshman year for us.
Yeah, and I'm like, oh, we're dating ourselves now, but yeah, it's like, Pokemon, it was still fun!
I think I remember playing it under the desk in Spanish class a couple times. I was like...
My brother and I, you know...
Yes, me gusta! Yes, puedo ir al baño?
Where is the bathroom?
That's kind of go to the bathroom.
You take your game... But that's when we had bricks still. Did you have your brick or did you have Game Boy?
I had the... What was it called?
Game Boy Pocket? Game Boy
yes,
Color?
Yes, the Pocket.
Pocket, Color... What was that for?
I basically went from the brick to the Pocket, and then I never had a Color, I never had the original Advance, I had an SP.
Yes.
And then I had a DS Lite.
My first was a Color, then I went to an Advanced, then an SP, and then I actually still have my original DS.
I have my original DS too.
I got rid of my brick. I found my Pocket the other day.
I have my brick still. I have the Game Boy Color.
Way off topic right now. And yeah. Well, let's get back on our topic where we were.
I remember where I caught Articuno!
Shush. So let's move on to Nintendo, because we basically talked about what Nintendo. Except they're actually getting a real Kirby game. Now I'm going to leave Nintendo, because I didn't play it.
I watched it, but yeah.
Sony! I played Resistance 3 there. It's not bad. I played it on a 3D TV. Not sure what it adds. That's about all I did at Sony. You?
I walked through the floor, and most of the stuff that was there, I had tried at other booths, like Dark Souls and Final Fantasy. And
so next topic. Capcom!
And the line was too long to wait for Uncharted 3. That was the only one that the Irish Pride wanted to try, but was only multiplayer. And he's like, I did not come to this convention to see the multiplayer! I want to see the single-person campaign!
Kept irritating me on Dragon's Nest by Nexon. I kept getting stuck in the multiplayer, and I wanted to do some of the single-player. But the single-player takes longer, so they move through the multiplayer faster. Anywho, Capcom. I saw a really short snippet of DMC, the new Devil May Cry series, this actually kind of annoyed me, because they ended it with DMC, so they're trying to push us out of the room while the DMC trailer is running. That actually kind of irritated me. And the girl that was running basically the Capcom thing I sat through, it was a, kind of a 30-minute video of all the games are coming out with. What she was doing could not have sounded more scripted if she tried. It's like she had no it's like her personality into it was forced. And it drove me nuts during the entire presentation.
Forced enthusiasm. I guess it's the people who, you know, run the exhibits. Some of those people are really glad to be there and they really want to share the information about their products with you.
They're
really
usually the people that actually work at the game companies and such, not the model they hired because she looks hot. But yeah, so Capcom, there was Asura's Wrath, which is... I still don't know what that game is, except for maybe a beat-em-up with this guy that got banished, and now he's back in the and it's the future, and there's all this stuff, but the people that banished him are still around. And apparently he gets his arms ripped off, and then they grow back.
Okay.
And apparently it's like there's a... This would drive you nuts. There was this video of him running with four arms all sticking out of the top arm sockets. I'm like, that looks horrible!
I am going to say that doesn't even in Hindu art with four arms. He has
So I understand maybe if they're coming along the sides because then maybe you have more movement. But they're all coming out of the same shoulder socket. It doesn't make sense. Sure, you have different elbows, but you still got the regular movement all in one spot.
I guess we didn't really stop at the Capcom booth. We kind of wandered by it, watched a little bit of the Resident Evil multiplayer.
Resident Evil Revelations, I think. There's two Resident Evil titles, one for the 3DS and one for an actual system.
This was for an actual... Well, 3DS is an actual system.
Okay, for a console instead of a handheld.
Yeah.
I still separate handhelds and consoles.
There's handheld, console, and PC.
Yeah. Anywho, what else did they have? There was the two Resident Evils, there was... Something versus Street Fighter, brain freezing. Tekken X Street Fighter. They show that a little bit, which looks like it's done in the Street Fighter art style.
I have to agree with somebody else. It's like, why don't we just at this point just say Street Fighter versus Tekken versus Soul Calibur versus, insert rest of video gaming, people here. I just have it released all at once, and we don't just need to have anything
something called the fighting game, and it just has every character ever.
See, that's all we need to do.
Except for 5, which will be released as DLC later.
Next one will be like Marvel versus Capcom versus the Peanuts.
Let's see.
Bethesda, Super Smash Bethesda's Brothers, because they are releasing another Smash Brothers for the new Wii U. Is it supposed to be another launch title? I don't know. They just hinted about it and said no more.
Yeah, it's like, well, we were told, it's like the guy said he'd like to do another Smash Brothers title, so I think I just promised you Smash Brothers. I bet you the guy that's making it wants to shoot you now, Reggie. We have this on video, so I'll get that up once I actually get it posted and find a site that I can post it on that I'm not breaking their user agreement. The main site that I use right now that I use for all the NDK stuff has a thing against posting pre-done video game footage. I'm not sure if this counts or not. I don't think it does, but I'll find out. Anywho, moving on. Capcom, I wasn't really that interested in Capcom's booth. Bethesda's booth looked nice, but again, we didn't have a media pass, so I couldn't make an appointment to actually see anything they had, so we can't tell you anything about Rage or Skyrim or...
Prototype 2.
That was Bethesda?
Yeah.
That Prototype 2 was Activision.
Oh, Prey 2. There we go. Sorry.
And then we kind of left that side of the... convention because that was really all that was there was Sony, Nintendo, Capcom, and Bethesda. Everything else was just kind of people selling their goods and wares.
And a few other releases.
Rift was there. But I already play Rift and it's already out. And End of Nations was there, which... That was there last year. Actually, it was in the other hall last year. But I digress. I digress from here.
Digress.
Thank you.
Great.
Moving on to the other hall where Microsoft was along with everybody else, which was actually the big hall. It's where most of the stuff to see actually was, I felt.
For all the other developers, they're all in there. EA, Activision, Atari, Square Enix, THQ, Warner Brothers, Sega. Help me out here, people.
I'm trying to remember.
Nexon.
Company that did, Waka Waka, Pac-Man.
Namco, thank you.
Tecmo Koi.
Gearbox was in there. Which the multiplayer for Duke Nukem actually worked, so I thought, kind of well. It kind of harkens back to the days where you're not taking this seriously and you're just doing it to have fun. And you had to get carded to go in because you're able to grab beer. They're like, here's your beer cozy, you have to drink this before the demo's over. And if you didn't want beer, you could either do nothing, or they also had Red Bull. The Red Bull you could take out with you. The beer you had to drink in their booth. So one of the guys that was with us, I'm going to call him Rico because, I don't know, that's what he was said to call him one time at work. He had to chug his beer.
Speaking of the 21 thing, we actually, on the last day, when Irish Pride and I were going into one of the halls after we came back from lunch or something, there was two kids actually trying to get in on the floor.
Good luck, kids.
Well, they had passes and everything. Somebody, I think, a parent or somebody gave them to them, and basically they got stopped at the door, and the guy's like, well, where are your parents? Because you have to be 17 or older to step out on the show floor.
Doesn't matter if you're with an adult or not. You can't get on there unless you're 17 or older. Which I think kind of helps the flow of everything, honestly. And let's see, Sawtooth Nukem. Apparently there was a long line to get your picture taken in with a couple of schoolgirls on Duke Nukem's throne, but I was way too impatient for that.
And I'm like, hooray! Thanks, guys.
You and Irish Pride saw Ninja Gaiden 3?
Yes, we went in, we were trying to get in to, you know, demo it, but there was quite a hefty crowd there at the time, so we just kind of stood by and watched. It looked interesting. It's really early still. It's not supposed to be released, I think, like mid or fall of next year. But my biggest complaint about it is that it looks very much mostly just like quick time events a little bit that we were able to see. And I'm like,
I get tired of quick time events, honestly.
Yeah, and some of the fighting, I guess it's just one of those things. It looks so cinematic. I'm like, well, how much of it is you actually doing stuff and, you know, getting punished for your mistakes, and how much of it is, you know, the computer, you know, just, you know, registering your button input and doing all these moves for one thing? I kind of felt that way, too, when we went and saw, we stood, too, for the play, the demo for Assassin's Creed 3, whatever the third one's called now. I can't remember.
Technically, it's still Assassin's Creed 2, because you're still using Ezio. Assassin's Creed Revelations, I think?
Revelations, thank you.
What is with the Revelations title for games?
Revelations, Reckoning, Revolution, anything with R seems to be very popular as a sort of subtitle. So anyway, we watched that. It was gorgeous to watch. I mean, it's beautiful, but it felt sort of like I was just watching a cinematic. Even though the guy was up there actually playing the demo, it seemed like they just programmed it.
It might be he's done it several times by now, so he's just, he knows what he's doing.
Yeah, as soon as I could think of it, just, I don't know, I'm just like, it just looks too scripted. I know it's a stupid complaint, but it's just like, I almost feel like I'm just watching the movie more than I'm interactively playing with the game.
I could see that. And let's see, Irish Pride saw Gears of War 3. He said the new Horde mode looks pretty interesting because there's random boss characters every so many waves. And it doesn't matter what wave you are on, the boss monster is completely random and it could be any boss from the game. And apparently during his demo, they did it twice and got the hardest boss in the game both times.
Ugh. They died the first time, and the second time they were more prepared, and they had to actually push everybody out of the demo because they actually went over time, because they had her down to, like,
phase two out
of three phases. And they had to, you know, basically stop and, you know, say, okay, everybody, you gotta leave for the next, you know, group to come in. The longest line we stood in for was for EA, for Star Wars Old Republic.
Old Republic. Oh, God, that was a long-ass line.
2.5 hours.
And we got there right, we went in that line right when they opened. Yeah. The game was fun. It seems like the gameplay worked out pretty well. But I just wasn't sure it was worth the 2.5 hour wait for a t-shirt.
Yeah, I guess my only disappointment was, is when we were standing in line and the guy, you know, who, he was there, you know, talking about stuff. He was really cool. He let me, you know,
play with the iPad, peruse all the classes,
and read them all at my leisure, and ask questions and such. Sometimes it's kind of good being a girl at these sort of things, because
got a lot of attention.
Yeah, on one hand, it's kind of good because people usually are more willing to pay attention to you, because, you know, it's like, if he's like, for every five guys, you know, out of five people, four will be guys, one will be a girl. So, you know, they're more, you know, willing to tell you about stuff. On one hand, it's kind of good in that. But on the other hand, it's like, it kind of feels a little bit demeaning because then they act like you've never played anything before. And it's like, I've played since the Atari and I have played on the PC. And
it's like,
I know
what
playing.
I'm doing. Stop treating me like it. Stop patronizing me.
Yeah, I'm like, I know what I'm doing. I know what I'm here for. I do know what your game is. I'm not big usually on a lot of PC console things, but I did enjoy it since it was an MMO. I unfortunately got stuck on the
newbie character.
The newbie character. But I enjoyed it, and I kind of liked one of the things where I was just kind of perusing around, you know, wandering in the environment, and found something and clicked on it, and it gave me a quest for exploring.
That's nice.
Yeah.
But hopefully when the game comes out someday in the future.
Yeah, we...
They still didn't give us a release date.
No, and not even an approximation. It looked pretty polished so far for what was there. Because a lot of people weren't expecting a playable demo, which is one of the reasons why it took so long to get through the line. They were only letting about 20 people in at a time. You had a 10-minute demo of, you know, just them talking about the game a little bit and a little bit about the classes and such. And then you had a 20-minute playable demo afterwards. So every group got 30 minutes in there, which, quite frankly, is a long time for a demo. Because a lot of the other stations, you get anywhere between 5 to 15 minutes, depending on how long they have their demo programmed, and how fast you can get through things.
Not to mention, I thought it was just going to be only a video.
Yeah.
So, it was kind of nice.
We hit up Nexon's booth a lot, mostly because they were doing free raffles, which is, I think, a really smart idea to get people to come back to your thing and to play your games multiple times.
Yeah, I enjoyed,
Dragon Nest or Vindictus?
Both, actually. Vindictus was what I was trying to think about. Dragon's Nest hasn't been released yet. It's still, they're supposed to go into open beta this summer or something like that. No, it's a closed beta they're going into this summer. Vindictus is actually out and running already. It's free to play, done by microtransactions. And what their microtransactions are is basically cosmetic or convenient stuff. Like, I was actually looking through the store. You can get, you know, additional storage spaces on your character, and you basically buy them for either 30 days, 90 days, or permanent, and they're cost more money per each one. There's also stuff that, like, makes you more lucky for drops for a certain amount of time. So you have a better chance of getting loot, because while I was playing through it, it's like, you need to get this from this dungeon area. But there's no guarantee it will actually drop the time you're in there, so you need to go through the dungeons multiple times. And the way the kind of the group system works finding it is you go to the docks where you charter a boat. When you go to charter the boat, you will see other boats that are chartered that haven't sailed yet. And you can basically join that boat and sail to the same dungeon with the people, or you can set it as a private invite only and just people you invite or by yourself. Which does make it so it's an MMO that you can't actually do completely by yourself. It will just take longer because you have to dodge the bosses much more. Myself and Care Bear were playing it, and she got stuck between the last boss on one of the last dungeons, and she kept just getting her ass kicked. She died. I wasn't able, it was only the two of us, so I wasn't able to go resurrect her because you can basically have Phoenix Downs bring people back to life. So, I'm just jumping around. I keep using my low-powered spells because I was the caster chick. I kept using the easy-to-cast spell and just kept dodging out of his way. So it took probably a good 5-10 minutes for me to down this guy. But we did do it. So you don't need large groups to pull stuff off. You just need patience. And we're both using, actually, instead of using the mouse and keyboard controls, we're actually using Xbox controllers. And it worked real well. In fact, we got her an Xbox controller because she doesn't like mouse and keyboard controls on games at all, really. So hopefully this will work better for her in any game that will accept the gamepad input. Moving on, let's see, Nexon. Microsoft also had Fable the Journey, which it looks like it's an on-rails game, but apparently it is not an on-rails game. You actually will move yourself around in the world using Kinect wherever you want to go. Which means while you're driving the horse, if you mess up, you will drive that horse off a cliff.
But they haven't quite spoken about how you move yet with Kinect.
Yeah. When I was in my demo, somebody raised their hands, how do you move? The guy's response was, everybody asks that. Everybody.
We haven't figured it out yet.
So, they're still working on it. I mean, this was a pretty early build that they showed us. I think it was only, he said they were only a few weeks in or something like that. And they're trying to be the first full Kinect title to market that's actually a hardcore game and not just a mini game. But they're showing their casting demos, and it all seemed to work really well. They said there's no actual arms and armor in this one. It's all created through the magic. So, like, their demo was, there was this goblin or something ringing a bell. So they swung their hands around, pushed all their magic together, and then formed a spear. Pull their hand out, you know, kind of yeah. Just to form the spear, or whatever, however they did it. It'll hopefully be explained when you're actually playing the game. And then chucked it at the goblin.
super remember all these button things. Like, I remember to, you know, how to...
And they're trying to make it as seamless as possible. I mean, the way they were doing most of the spells was basically they were just moving their hands as you see any caster do in a video game, and then pushing their hand at an enemy, and it would attack the monster. Seemed to work pretty well. The horse was real made sense, because you basically did whatever you see people do on horses in the movies. Whip the reins, pull it back, yell at it to get it to move faster. If the game works the way they promise it to, I could see it actually being an actual good Kinect reason to get the Kinect. That's not, you know, dancing. Let's see, EA. We weren't able to see Mass Effect 3, because that was media and retailer only. How was Need for Speed Run?
It seems like it actually has a story this time. Arch Pride did the demo, and you're basically racing from the mob. You have to get outside the city limits of Chicago, and you basically steal a police car while you're doing this, and there's a helicopter firing at you as you're trying to race through to get out, and so you have to weave in and out of traffic and weave back and forth the way the helicopter doesn't, you know, basically fill you full of holes. Then you get to one point where it's actually a sort of quick time event, where you end up crashing the car, you end up coming to, it's upside down, and you're on the train tracks, and the train's coming. So what it basically does is it pops up the joystick, and you have to pick a direction. So if you pick a direction, like another thing is if you push up, you start trying to undo your seatbelt, and then it pops up the X button. So you have to furiously pop X to, you know, get yourself to undo your belt, and then you fall down in the car, and then you're still in there, and so you need to get out. Well, the first time we pushed to the left, and it was the window, and he's trying to punch it out with his arm, but he can't do it, and he ends up, you know, like going like this. Well, then the train comes, and that's all it shows.
It didn't work well, huh?
No! I think since it's a demo, it starts it over again at this event. See, we know we undo our belt again. Well, we push to the right this time. Well, he kicks out the window on that side. And so he kicks out, and they get out of the car right before the train hits, and that's where the demo ends.
Cool. So, actually, there's actually people in a racing game.
Yeah!
I don't know how to feel about that. That's a little scary. And let's see, we also saw Amalur the Reckoning or something like that? Kingdom of Amalur Reckoning, where you are a generic RPG guy number 5 that's been resurrected through some unknown means that's never worked before. And now it is your job to change the destinies of the world and save it from some unknown horror that they haven't told us about yet.
Graphically, it looks very pretty, especially since they don't know exactly when they're going to release it either. But it's supposed to be different in that it's very much more action-oriented, you know, fighting scheme. But it doesn't shoehorn you into a particular class from the very beginning. It gives you basically sort of like gigantic talent trees that you go through, and if you like the flavor or sound of something, you pick it. And eventually your class sort of adapts itself to your play style. Which I think is an interesting concept to go for it, so you're not like me, who has, you know, 6 or 7 characters under the level of 20 on WoW, because you just get really tired of class.
So what's kind of nice about Rift is I chose a mage. Get tired of my Stormcaller? Okay, Necromancer. I don't have to restart a new character, I just swap out my souls. The only thing I have to start a new character for is if I want to tank or something. Let's see, what else did we have? That was, I know Care Bear went and saw The Sims Pets while we were waiting for Star Wars. She said it seemed interesting. She'll probably get it just because she has every other Sims expansion under the sun.
I just like building in Sims. I don't like playing with the Sims. I just like building houses and decorating and doing all that stuff, and then I don't want to do anything with my Sim.
That's what she spends most of her time doing, but with when World Adventures came out, it gave her questing. So she was questing in the Sims. Let's see. WB had Batman Arkham City, which we didn't get a lot of hands-on time with.
That was another crazy line.
Care Bear played Lego Harry Potter years
5 through 7.
And you guys, what was that game that you guys played?
It was called Bastion, which is an Xbox Live game. But it was really nice. It had a very distinct painterly art style. The narration in the game is really interesting because they kind of make it as a tutorial. So you're as your character, you wake up on this sort of piece of floating land, and you decide that you need to find where everybody else is, and you have to go to the Bastion, because that's where everybody said they would go when things, you know, got bad. And then the world sort of forms up around you in this space. And as the guy's narrating, he's sort of, describing what the character's going to do in a way that you know, oh, so this is how I use this attack, or, oh, this is what this item is, and such. Like, he says, like when you get your bow, he's like, he knew he needed to, you know, draw back and hold it steady and true, you know, for a massive attack. So basically it's telling you, hold down your one button, so you draw back all the way.
Don't just press it and go, ping.
Yeah.
And then you now have impotent bow syndrome.
Yeah, but it was done really well, and I think it did win a couple of awards for the E3 show. I think Mass Effect, I think, won the most. Gears of War 3 won a lot, too.
Let's see, what else did we do after that?
Went to Irish Pride and I spent some time at Natsumi's booth, who they're most known for their Harvest Moon series. They are releasing a new Harvest Moon for the 3DS and the DS. It's coming out on both versions of the same game, which is kind of nice, because I'm like, I haven't upgraded yet. But this one's a little bit different in that the game you play as a boy or a girl, but there's two towns this time, and you get to pick which town you would like to be in. One town is more, you know, raising animals driven, and the other town is more crops driven. So, I guess it depends on what you like to do, and you're supposed to somehow draw the two towns back together because they're feuding.
Okay.
So we happened to be in the animal portion of the town because we kept wondering, where do you go and buy crops? And then we had it explained to us. It's like, oh, okay. They also had a new Rune Factory, which is actually being released for the Wii and the PS3. It looked really pretty on the PS3 because that's the version they had available there. You have like two, I forget how the character works. It's like this one character that's two people and, you know, one body or something. It was kind of weird. But it's generally like other Rune Factories where you have to go through dungeons and fight monsters, but on the side you raise your farm and all that sort of fun jazz. They also had Real Fishing 2, which only makes me sad because both Irish Pride and I are like, well, when are you going to do another Legend of the River King? If nobody has ever heard of Legend of the River King, Google it, Wikipedia it. It was, for the original Game Boy, and extremely difficult to find now, but we had a lot of fun with it, and the guy's like, you're like the second person in like 10 minutes to ask me this question. We don't know. There's no slated item at this time. And Natsumi had some cool swag. You got a little alpaca for trying out their stuff.
Nice.
It was awesome.
Let's see. I went over to the online booth for a little bit because they were giving away a free HDTV. So I signed up for that, and then they were talking about how OnLive is available now on the iPad, and at the end of the summer it'll be available on Android tablets. So that was kind of neat, and
checked out the history of video games.
I didn't think we'd be able to go through 3 days actually within the hour.
Or giving really brief, like, trying
rapid
to...
Fire of
rapid
what we saw.
Fire, it's... Even now, it's just trying to keep and remember and process all the information. It's just kind of overwhelming that first day.
Oh, I did go and see Aliens Colonial Marine, the little demo they gave of that, which they threatened us with bodily harm if we were to film anything. No, not really. But they did say they'd kick us out because they had a guard with night vision goggles watching for cameras.
Okay.
But anywho, the game looks good. The developer of Gearbox, the guy that if you watched the Duke Nukem delay trailer and the Duke Nukem demo trailer, he's the guy that's actually giving it that complains about not being told anything. He was actually the guy giving the Colonial Marines demo when I got there, and it was probably somewhat scripted, but he had the most genuine enthusiasm I heard at some of these things. Because he was just very excited to be making an Aliens game. And he started going over all these games that he put elements of Aliens in already because he cribbed from them. So he was very excited. It made the game seem that a little more interesting, I think, just the fact that the owner of the company was excited they were making it. And then they did a demo where they went back to the original ship from Aliens, which was now crashed on a planet. And they were in a holdout situation waiting for reinforcements. Which, spoiler for the demo, they didn't come. And you got to see an alien queen. It didn't turn out well for the Marines.
Doesn't sound that way.
But it looks like the game looks good. It looks like they're using a cover mechanic again, although... No, actually, there wasn't a lot of cover there. Because it doesn't do good to cover against stuff that's just running straight at you. So cover mechanic kind of seems pointless now that I think about it in hindsight. But overall, it seemed interesting. And that was the main thing I did at the Sega booth.
We tried Sonic Generations for a brief one stage, and that's about it. I don't know, there's just nothing else that was very interesting at Sega. They had, was it Binary?
All I remember was the statue of the two robots.
Yeah, I think it was the Binaries. I can't remember the second part of that title. It just escaped me. And then they had the Sonic and Mario Olympics.
And then they had a new House of the Dead Overkill game that uses the PlayStation Move. I didn't play it, but they had it.
We went to Konami's booth. I think Clint tried the Silent Hill Downpour and was very disappointed with it, so the controls were really wonky. I tried a 3DS title, which I cannot for the life of me remember the title because it's kind of long. Professor Lutrek?
Must not have been that interesting.
No, I liked it, but it's a long title, and I can't remember. And the Forgotten Knights or something.
Give me a second, I'm able to pull this up because that actually sounds really familiar all of a sudden.
Yeah, I don't know. I enjoyed it. The only way I can describe it is it's Professor Layton crossed with Pokemon crossed with archaeology.
Go on, keep talking.
Yeah, but basically it has full voice acting throughout, and it has full animated cutscenes. You have to solve certain puzzles as you're exploring through archaeological sites and finding, you know, certain treasures. But your professor isn't very interested in just, like, treasure for profit. He's more interested in treasure, certain artifacts. The artifacts you're looking for are treasures with living spirits inside of them that only his assistant can see, which is why he brings her along with all of his stuff, because she can see him. Well, when you get these items and you can, basically subdue the spirit inside and get to use them later in other fights. So I was using, like, a hairpin and this harp thing that had living spirits in it to fight this other living spirit, which was in the statue of a winged goddess. And you can only put these items on certain spots on the touch screen, which gives certain synergy bonuses and all this sort of fun jazz. So that was just kind of like, okay. It was a pretty long demo that I gotta try.
Maybe I lied and I can't find it.
Yeah, I just can't. I have to look at my notes, which I don't have with me right now. Because I cannot remember when it's supposed to be coming out. I think it's soon. It looks pretty much done.
But on the bright side of Sega's website, there's a thing that says Play Free Games, and it has Toe Jam and Earl. On a completely another subject. Yeah, apparently you can play Toe Jam and Earl on their site. That's kind of cool.
So yeah, we will have more coverage
as we go, as we remember stuff. There are pictures up on the website, and I am going to get that video up of the Nintendo press conference. Irish Pride is doing a write-up, which I am going to add to since we did. Even though we did not mean to divide and conquer, we constantly did divide and then amazingly run back into each other randomly without any planning whatsoever.
Yeah, but it's kind of hard to keep a larger group together in this place. Because one person's interested in one thing, somebody else is interested in something else, and you're waiting, and you're like, oh, and somebody else catches your eye, and you go away, and then you notice that you've lost the rest of your party.
And sometimes it just seems better to be in smaller groups, because a larger group, you have less chance of getting in if you're on the tail end of a demo thing. Where the smaller groups are like, okay, you got one or two people? Yeah. Okay, you're in. You guys in front of you have to wait because you're a group of four or five. Because there was one time where there was actually five of us.
Yes.
I was actually honestly got surprised that we got in that time, because we were near the tail end of that, too.
Yes.
What demo was that?
I think it was The Reckoning.
That was The Reckoning. We were like the last people they let in.
Yep.
That was a nice air-conditioned room.
Uh-huh.
Anywho, so, that's about all we have for now on our 54-minute show, give or take.
Whee!
It'll be less than that after I finish editing out blank spots and white spots and all the spots. So we'll say this is about 50 minutes.
Anyway, I played Dungeon Siege 3 demo. Read my thoughts on it.
Oh yeah, he did play games after not talking for half an hour.
I took a nap.
So, go ahead and visit the site, www.thegameslave.com. You can access our store there along with our forums. If you would like to register, just send mail to mail@thegameslave.com with your requested username, and I'll make sure to get you registered. This is kind of my way of avoiding spam. Yeah, that's about all I have. Follow us on Twitter, @thegameslave.com, and friend us on Facebook. Thanks, and game on!
Game on!
Game on!